Good morning and welcome to our Friday morning chapel. Please turn to the front part of the hymn book, page 191. Page 191. There you will find the longest psalm, portions of the longest psalm, Psalm 119. We will use today part two, and we will speak these together responsively. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony. As much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading for today is taken from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 15. This is a portion of Jesus' high priestly, or sometimes called sacerdotal, prayer. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. Back in 2012, there was a Chinese dissident who spoke out against the government by the name of Chen Guosheng. And he got in trouble for speaking up against abuses by his Chinese government. And because of that, he was taken and badly beaten by authorities, threatened with death, and finally put on trial, arrested, put on trial, and sentenced to house arrest. And they had police then guarding him in his home to keep him in his home. And one night he managed to escape out of his own house and made his way to the United States Embassy in Beijing. And there he passed through a gate with a U.S. seal on it. And he came there and fled there to seek sanctuary, to find protection, and also some medical assistance that he needed. And it truly did prove to be a sanctuary for him, a safe place. It was the headquarters of the United States ambassador to China, and that compound of buildings, and in particular the one main building, had been set apart from all the other buildings in the country of China, and that compound was owned by the United States and still is. And it was, in a sense, our nation's presence in their country. And he knew that by going there, the people inside of that compound had a different mindset than the government officials in his own country. And that is why he ran there for safety. As he went through that first gate and into the doors of that embassy, I am sure that made a great impact on him. We use the term sanctuary to talk about this room that we're in. And it's kind of the same concept. It has been set apart from all the other buildings on campus, or in, you could even say here in Mankato to some extent. It's been set apart from all the other buildings on campus and consecrated as a protected space for something very special. It has been designated and was originally set apart as a building to be a house of worship to our gracious triune God. That's why you see triangles represented in the architecture all over the place. Your parents, if you were like mine, probably taught you specific rules about being in a sanctuary. And we treat a room and a building like that differently because it's been set apart from everything else. And as you enter this sanctuary, you go right past the baptismal font. We probably don't think about it a lot, but maybe every once in a while we should, that every time we enter the sanctuary, we should be reminded of the wonderful grace of God that has made us part of the Holy Christian Church. And that's how and where God made you his child. And in the same way that that seal meant something going into the U.S. Embassy compound to Mr. Guosheng, that font should mean something to us as we enter this sanctuary. This is where we are safe because of the Word of God. Now, quite often the Bible uses the word sanctify, and we see it in our text here as well for today in Jesus' prayer to his Heavenly Father. He says, sanctify them, praying for his church. Sanctify them. Continue to keep them set apart from the world. So not only do we think of a building and a worship area is a place to be set apart from everything else. But you individually now, through the gift of faith, the Holy Spirit has come into your heart to cause you to love Christ, to appreciate what he's done for you, and by this he sets you apart from all the unbelieving people in the world. Had nothing to do with how great we are. It's entirely by his grace, by his election, by the fact that he's worked this out in our lives, maybe through your parents and pastors and teachers, that God has instilled this wonderful faith in our hearts to trust in our Lord Jesus as our Savior. And so you and I likewise are sanctified. We have been pulled and set apart from the unbelieving world and made part of God's holy Christian church. The night before Jesus goes to the cross to be crucified is when he's praying these words. These are probably from his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And isn't it interesting to think that here is the Son of God who comes into the world to bear the full weight of all of my guilt and your guilt the next morning, to ultimately go and be sacrificed before God, to be abandoned by his Father, to feel really our hell that we deserve. But the night before he's doing that, who's on his heart? You are. He's praying for you as a member of his church. Sanctify them. Keep them holy through faith in him, set apart from this unbelieving world. And he prays, keep them from the evil one. Now, he doesn't pray that God would take us out of the world right away. That's why we're still here. He doesn't ask that we be removed from the world. But he does rather say, keep them from the evil one. And what you're doing right now in a sanctuary as a sanctified child of God, set apart by the work of the Holy Spirit, listening to his sanctified holy word, is the very way that we are kept from the evil one. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. God's word is very clear, and Christ's teaching and his apostles' teachings are very clear that Scripture is the true word of God. And it's through the truth that comes into our hearts by faith, through faith, it's through that truth of God's word that we have been now sanctified. We have been made part of the sanctuary of God's holy church here in the world. But it's that very word that we love, the very word that has created faith in your heart, it's the very word that draws you in here today to come and sit and worship, that the world hates, that causes there to be opposition between us and this wicked, unbelieving world. And it's the word that we possess in our hearts that makes us so different from those who are in the unbelieving world. And just like that Chinese dissident who ran to the U.S. Embassy because he knew people in there had a different mindset, in the saving word of Christ, those who love that word have a different mindset from the world. The very word of God that you love and that creates faith in your heart and sustains that faith in your heart, that cherishes your Lord Jesus, who died to forgive all of your sins, who has given you the promise of life in heaven, this word that you have in your heart is why there is so much opposition. And here's the great irony. The very thing that makes the world hate us as Christians is the thing they need the most. What strange irony. The one medicine, the one antidote that can get people out of their graves someday and live forever in heaven, in paradise, is the very thing that they hate about us here in this world. Now, theologians like to categorize the word sanctification in two different ways, okay? We speak about sanctification in a broader sense, and that has to do with the entire work of the Holy Spirit grabbing you, giving you faith in Christ, taking your dead heart spiritually and giving it life to believe in Jesus as your Savior, and ultimately taking you to heaven. That whole entire work we refer to as sanctification. But there's also a narrower sense in which we use that word. And it has to do with how this wonderful faith plays out in our lives. And I'm going to use an analogy from a Wisconsin Synod pastor named Philip Moldenhauer that he published recently in a paper about worship. And I just love this, and I think you'll appreciate it. I was in college when Star Wars came out, but I know a lot of you just freaked out over Star Wars. So you'll get this analogy. I like this. Talk to Sean Stafford if you want to know about this. But listen to this. This is beautiful. It has to do with how this narrower sense of sanctification. Remember when you were a kid and you watched Star Wars, and afterwards you fashioned and made a lightsaber to go fight the bad guys? This is what Christ-centered worship accomplishes. It calls God's people into imitation of all that is best and virtuous and praiseworthy by showing us the beauty of Christ. I love that. Today, that Chinese dissident, Mr. Guanxiang, and his wife and their children live in the United States as free citizens. Someday, because of what takes place in this sanctuary, and because you have been sanctified and are sanctified through faith in Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit, that will allow you to live in the freedom of the mansions above. Live for that. Amen. Please rise and join me in the collect, or the prayer for the word. You'll find this on page 86 in the front part of the hymn book. Page 86 in the front part. And prayer number 2. And we will just speak the amen at the end. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. May the triune God of your baptism, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, now bless and preserve you. Go in peace. Amen.